This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers. We're located at 501 Opelousas Avenue, and our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And this is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next hour. And we're glad to be able to come back into your homes by the means of radio. You pray for us. The Lord's blessings rest upon us. Our Father, how we thank thee for your grace. We find that is sufficient. Our Father, in weakness we're made strong. We thank thee for our blessed Savior and Lord and Redeemer. We thank thee, our Father, you called us by thy grace, revealing thy Son in us. And then making us what we are by thy grace in Christ. Our Father, we pray thy blessings upon us in this hour. Each and every hearer here and out in radio land, we pray you'll bless their hearts, open hearts everywhere, open the hearts of the lost. May the Holy Spirit awaken them to their lost condition, bring them on to Christ. We pray, our Father, for the sick. Bless them and be with them. Heal them according as thou wilt. Pray for the bereaved. You'll guide them and comfort and strengthen them in this time. And our Father, be with us in this hour. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 343. 343. Follow on. That's what any sinner can do, any individual can do, is follow on to know the Lord. And just this announcement about our storehouse. If you can help us in any way in building up our supplies in the storehouse, we would certainly appreciate it. especially our own membership here and out on radio line, or even the strangers within our gates, everyone, anyone whom you might like to help us in feeding the needy folks that come to our storehouse for the needy across the street from us. Our shelves are getting pretty empty, and we're not able to help like we want to. So I'm asking everyone if you can bring a can of something and bring it to the tabernacle tonight or during the week or to the storehouse. I know everything is high, the cost of things are going up, and it's kind of getting a little difficult for us to purchase things with the way the cost of things are just rising. But if you can help us in any way by giving any kind of goods, canned goods, or anything that will keep, we'll certainly appreciate it. We'd love to. Or if you have a check, a special check you want to mail to us to buy food for the storehouse, we would certainly appreciate that. And we'll see that the needy will get that which is needed. I know I went through the storehouse this past week and looked at the shelves. People coming in for help, we were unable to help them. But if you can help us in any way, we'd certainly appreciate it. Want to bring a bag of groceries. If you have any clothes, any children's clothes you're not using at your home, we would appreciate them also. I just thought I'd leave that with you. You've helped us in the past, and I'm certain you will help us in the future so we can help others. Now, I want to sing another song, and then I have just another announcement I'd like to make, but I want to sing this song here and dedicated to Mrs. Coley, who is in the hospital, West Jefferson Hospital. And all others who are sick. His grace is enough for me. 445. She wants to hear this song. It's a gracious number. Number 445. Let's stand. If you're able to stand, come on and stand with us and sing it. Thank you. After a while, I want the choir to sing that number. Why? He loved me so, I think something like that. Why should he love me so? I think it's a number. Now this time I want to make a special request. I didn't say a thing to the party at all, but the Lord has laid it upon my heart. The families in the church at this present time in the tabernacle, I haven't spoken, I didn't tell them what I was going to do. But the husband and the head of the home, he's been out of work for some time, and they're in a sort of a desperate situation. I have a family, afflicted child, expenses, and I'm asking the congregation this morning if you will help us to help them, give them a special offering. And the offering going to Adrian Pellego and his family. I want the ushers to come up. Dig a little deeper. Give what you can. $5, $10. You don't have it now, bring it tonight. I'm asking you in Radio Land if you will write a check out or send in a check address to help Adrian Pellego and his family. I didn't speak with them about it, but I saw the need this week. So if the ushers would come up with the baskets, we'll pass them around and give what you can to help them. At times I know there's some things I know about, some I don't, and as we investigate different things, our Father, we ask you thy blessings upon Adrian, his family, his wife, and children, and especially his afflicted child. Our Father, we pray for them. Lead us in the spirit of giving. You say you love a cheerful giver. You tell us to help one another. And our Father, bear one another's burdens. And as thou hast laid it upon our hearts at this time, we thank you that we're able to help in this particular case. And Father, may thy blessings rest upon us this morning. Keep us in this hour. In Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen. Now we'll have the choir, as they're taking up the collection, we want the choir to go ahead and sing this song, Why Should He Love Me So?
Why should he love me so?
Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you ever asked yourself that question? Why should he love me so? Why did he love me? And our subject will be along those lines here this morning. Why should he love me so? Thinking about the message this morning, during the week, the Lord laid this message on my heart. It's the love of God. The love of God. I prepared this message some time ago. Been led to set it aside and bring others that were befitting for the time. In regards to our giving this morning, I praise the Lord for that, for your response. I know there are others that are in need, perhaps, of course. We don't know many things until we investigate such cases and find out what a family needs, whether it be a family or an individual. I would be reminded of those things, and certainly we want to help anyone who is in need. But I praise the Lord that we can help others. And that's where that comes in, by bearing one another's burdens, helping out. That doesn't mean sins, but bearing one another's burdens, relieving the sufferings, relieving the individual, those who are in need, who are afflicted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so we'll fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love, the law of liberty. I praise the Lord that we're able to help. And if you know of any others that may be in need, that members of our assembly here, this church, I would that you would let me know, especially the members of our assembly. You have been coming here for years and you're connected with this work. Certainly, we don't want to see you go on and struggling and us not knowing anything about it. I want you to let us know, or someone, let someone know about it. But from time to time, this will come up, and we'll do what the Lord leads us to do. Now, our subject this morning is the love of God. I want us to turn to the second chapter of Ephesians. Turn with us in your Bible. In the second chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the first verse, listen to it. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I touched on that verse of scripture in our Sunday school lesson. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, as this chapter states, that we're saved by grace, and grace alone. We are his workmanship, and he shall present his church unto himself in the end, the church that he had perfected, the church that he's taken the spots away and the wrinkles, a glorious church he shall present unto himself. For we are his workmanship. You and I had nothing to do with our salvation. We couldn't add to it. We couldn't take anything away from it, or you couldn't make yourself fitted for the kingdom as a worthy bride. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's work. We're saved by grace. I remember that. Saved by grace unto good works. Then if you turn with us to the first chapter of Ephesians, in the third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We're saved not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. That's where my salvation is this morning. How about you? Where does your salvation rest? Is it in the wisdom of man? Or is it of your own making? You're trying to make yourself holy, trying to make yourself perfect before God. You're trying to make yourself presentable, and you're doing that work, not knowing that you're adding iniquity unto iniquity, evil unto evil. But praise the Lord, the salvation is of the Lord. I'm glad it is. I'm certainly glad it is, and I'm sure you are too if you're saved. But that salvation is wholly of grace, is of the Lord. Let's remember that. As we stated a little while ago, it's all because of his great love wherewith he loved us. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, did he quicken us? But because he loved us. And I know in talking upon such a subject here this morning, many will misunderstand it, and many will say, well, I love Jesus. I love him. I love him ever since I knew myself. And I love him, not realizing that in the natural heart of man there is no love at all for God. in the natural heart of man, in the carnal man, there is no love for God. Now let's get into our subject here. He may explain it just a little bit more to us, open up a little bit about the love of God. The love of God. You've heard it over and over again. Such a message from our late pastor and others. But I want to present it the way the Lord has led me and the way He's shown it to me. And many of the things you'll hear, you've heard before. And if you have any love for the Lord in your heart, you didn't put it there. God put it there. If you have any love for the Lord Jesus Christ or for the truth, you didn't put that love there. God put it there. I had no love for Him before God saved me back in 1952. He wasn't in all my thoughts. I had no desire after Him. Not at all. That's man by nature. That's the carnal man that lives for self, lives for the world, and that's all, me, myself, and I. There are many today who talk about the love of God, who are total strangers to the God of love. God's love to many is reduced to a mere sickly sentiment. And more or less is patterned after human emotion. You talk about the love of God. Now the truth is that on this, as on everything else, our thoughts need to be formed and regulated by what is revealed thereon in the Word of God. When we talk about the love of God, do away with all sentiments and emotions and face the bare facts upon the pages of Holy Writ, what it teaches us of the love of God. That there is urgent need for this is apparent not only from the ignorance which so generally prevails, but also from the lowest state of spirituality, which is now so sadly evident everywhere among professing Christians. And one reason for this is because our hearts are so little occupied with His wondrous love, with the wondrous love of God and the love He has for His people. I wonder how many of us take time out and just look up that word love, love of God, the love of Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit, and especially what we just read to you from this first chapter of Ephesians, that He predestinated us in love before the foundation of the world. He predestinated us before the foundation of the world. We don't love Christ after He saves us. Or He didn't love us after He saved us. He saved us before the foundation of the world, and He loved us before the foundation of the world. 1 John 4:8 tells us, for God is love. God is love. He is love. Don't you like to think of Him as such? He is a God of wrath, but I like to think of Him, He is a God of love. God is love. His nature is love. His very nature is love. Love springs from God, and He delights in exhibiting such love. I'm glad He exhibited it towards me, you, others here out in Radio Land, and you know the love I'm speaking on this morning about. The love of God. I don't know, I had such a funeral that touched my heart like it did when we conducted the funeral here for Brother Juno. The Lord, let us sing that song, the love of God, and bring a message and hear in His love. And how the family was impressed with that message and with the song. I just was so impressed myself. I praise the Lord, how He blessed that message. Not only in song, but the message that was brought. And talking about hearing His love. And see them sitting there and listening to the Word of God. But God is love. You hear people saying, well, why did He do this? Why does He allow this to happen in my life? Or why did He have to take my newborn babe? Or why this? They begin grumbling, complaining, and I heard that one time from someone, not long after God saved me. I said, because it pleased Him. Why did He take that baby? Why couldn't He take a one up in life who's lived their lives? Why did He take that poor little baby? I said, because it seemed good in His sight. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. He had a purpose in it. That new baby born there is up in glory with Him. God is love. God hates iniquity. God hates sin. And God will punish sin either in your substitute, in Christ, in His substitute, or He'll punish it and you'll be punished for it. He's not willing that any should perish. God is love. Men perish because of their sins. They will not repent. That's why you perish. You go to hell of your own choice. Because you will not come to the light. You will not come to Christ that you might have life. God so loved that He gave. What more could He do? His nature is love. It is not simply that God loves, but that He is love itself. I like to think of Him as that. God is love Himself. This being true, I wonder how many of us here in this tabernacle this morning and out in radio land know anything about the love of God. My friends, has this love ever been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit? There are so many individuals who talk about the love of God, and yet they are total strangers to it, know nothing about the love of God in Christ. And then in 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Let me repeat that. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Now, which indicates that every man by nature is dead in trespasses and sins, and we do not live. But God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Is there any greater love than that? Men and women dead in trespasses and sins, and then for God to send His only begotten Son in the world, that we might live. I'm dead, now I'm living. I was dead, now I'm alive. And no wonder the individual who knows that God of love, always expressing His love to him, never can get over such love. Yes, like the choir just sang, why did He love me so? That song they just sung, "Why Did He Love Me So?" You ever turn to your husband, wife, and say, "Why do you love me?" "I just love you." The wife would turn to her husband and say, "Why, honey, why you love me? Why did you love me?" I just love you. I love all of you. No particular reason, I love you. My heart went out to you. I know in the case of my wife and I, it was love at first sight for me. And I tagged on, I pestered her and everything else. I wanted her for myself. God's love for His people was love at first sight. I praise the Lord for that. Think back in eternity. No wonder we're constantly expressing the love of God. It's His love for us, not our love for Him. We love Him because He first loved us. That's true. That's scriptural. But I love to think of God's love for me and for His people and for His church, that He sent His only begotten Son in the world that they might live through Him. The church was dead, but in Christ they are made alive. Praise God. Now we see from this passage that the love of God is uninfluenced. There was nothing in me that could influence His love for me. Nothing but sin, and sin certainly cannot influence the love of God. It's uninfluenced, voluntary on His part to love you and I. Voluntary. On His part. By this we mean there was nothing whatever in the objects of His love, nothing in the creature to attract or prompt His love. You'll say, well, I could hear somebody out there say, well, He loves me because I'm a good father, or I'm a good husband. Or I do good for the community. Or I help people. That's why He loves me. That's no condition there. That's not why God loves you if He loves you. The love. Let me repeat that again. By this we mean there was nothing whatever in the objects of His love, nothing in the creature to attract or prompt His love. God looked down upon the whole scene of the human race and saw that all were sinners, all undone, all unclean, all destined for hell, all alike, no difference. All have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every man turned to his own way. Now you think about that. Now you see the reason why the believer rejoices in God's love and His grace. One day going my own way, fulfilling my own wishes, my own desires, the vanity of my mind and my corrupt passions, going on the road to hell. But God. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The love which one creature has for another is because of something in them. But the love of God is free, is spontaneous, is uncaused. And the only reason why God loves anyone is found in His own sovereign will. Now that's all. That's the only reason why God loves anyone. It's found only in Him, in His own will. That does away with the will of man. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter and the 7th and 8th verses. Let me read them to you. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved thee. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I know He's specifically talking here to the Jewish nation, but then God's people are few. They've always been few through the centuries, through the ages. God's people have always been a small company in comparison with the majority that are lost and know nothing about the love of God. But why did He choose you and I? Because He loved us. That's all. That's right. Did you choose Christ? No, you didn't. You didn't want anything to do with Him. But because you're here this morning, whether you're saved or lost, God's brought you here to hear His message, to hear of His love for sinners, to give you another opportunity to show you His great love wherewith He loves you. And that salvation is wholly and completely of Him. And that you must turn yourself over to Him. And he's showing you that love through His Son. Now let's go on. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, as 1 John 4:9 reads, which means towards sinful men. Sinful men. Are you a sinner? You ever seen yourself as a sinner? Depraved? Lost? Ruined? Guilty? You ever see yourself as a transgressor? Holy Spirit, have opened your heart, and you've come into the knowledge of all of that, what you are by nature, by practice, the judgment you're under. That's all God's work. That's God's, the Holy Spirit, showing you yourself. His desires are after you to give you eternal life in Christ. Yes, He extends that love towards sinful men, rebels, even the rebels. Praise the Lord. Every one of us by nature are rebels. Rebels. Romans 5:5 tells us, but God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In this manner, He gave proof of His love. All believers are objects of His love, and they have in reality experienced it in their hearts. Every believer, if you're born again by the Spirit of God, you have experienced the love of God in your heart. Because after God saves us, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. And you can't help but cry after Him and know His love for you. The Holy Spirit reveals that love. So in this manner, He gave proof of His love. How often have I asked myself the question, why should He love me so? Why should He? And even after all these years since He saved me, back in 1952, why should He love me so? Why should He put up with me day by day? Many times my unbelief, my failings. My sins, my unfaithfulness, Why should he love me so? One so vile, one so impure, so sinful as I. Why does Christ love me? What a strange choice for God to choose such a wretch as I. God's strange choice. And I imagine every believer can say that this morning. We're God's strange choice. Strange that he should choose one like me. Brothers and sisters, you don't know where God brought me from. And I guess you could say the same thing. Pastor, you don't know where God brought me from. Some of us from every walk of life. Different communities. Different ways of living. Knowing myself as I do, I must conclude that there's nothing of the creature can be the cause of what is found in God from eternity. He loves from himself, according to his own purpose. His own purpose. My friends, God's love is beyond compassion. He had compassion upon the multitude, but yet his love is beyond compassion. The love of God appeared in Christ, and it was manifested not to, but in the believers. Not to the believers, but in the believer. Now that's where the love of God is expressed. In that soul who's resting in Christ. That soul who's fled to Christ for refuge. The love of God was revealed to all of mankind. But it was revealed specifically in the believer. And it's only the believer that knows Christ, that knows the love of God. He knows about that love. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's not a love of just a sentimental love or a love that expresses itself in emotions. It might at times. But I may not have one feeling or one emotion. But I know the love of God is shed abroad in my hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I know that God loves me in Christ. And I know that he's breathed eternal life in me and made me a new creation in Christ. I know that. I am his workmanship, and I was created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he's performing that work continually in us and will be unto the end when he shall take the church, all the redeemed, and present him unto himself a glorious church. A lovely church without spot and without blemish unto himself. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, his love was manifested to the world in general, as John 3:16 tells us. But his particular choice, that love was revealed to all believers. They are recipients of that love, and they know the love of God in their hearts, which expresses itself in outward performances and outward works. It has an outward manifestation of itself, the love of God. He's not going around talking about how much he loves the Lord or how much I love Jesus. But he's thinking about, oh, that great love, where would God love me? Why did he love me so? And let me say again, that may you may express it without even any emotions whatsoever. But I know that God loves me. I know that. Now, why aren't you in hell this morning, my friends? It's because of the love of God. The opportunity He's given you to close in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me quote some passages from the Word of God. Our time's getting by here quickly, which illustrate the love of God. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Then 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Listen. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Then in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. God did not love us because we loved Him, but He loves us before we had a particle of love for Him. Had God loved us in return for our love, then it would not be spontaneous on His part. But because He loved us when we were loveless, it is clear that His love was uninfluenced by the creature. Now we must leave you in Radio Land. Our time has gotten by from us. I'll have this little bit more on the tape. But I do want you to hear us next Sunday morning from 7 till 8. And hear an old-fashioned gospel message brought by our late pastor, who's now home in glory. And you listen to it. It's God's message. Then hear us at the 10 to 11 Bible School of the Air and the 11 to 12 o'clock worship hour. Now, let me give you my mailing address. It's H.G. Gale. That last name is spelled G-U-E-H-O, Post Office Box Number 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And now until next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, I'll bid you Godspeed. May God's blessings rest upon you. Goodbye. God's love for me and for each His own was entirely unmoved by anything in them. Now, what was there in me to attract the heart of God? What is there in you to attract the heart of God? Now, you listen to me in closing. What is there in you to attract the heart of God? You must say, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But to the contrary, everything in us to repel Him, to repel such love. Every reason why He should have cast me into hell, one so sinful, so depraved, a mass of corruption with no good thing in me. And yet God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. What love. What love. Are you going to despise that love, my sinner friend? Are you going to turn away from that love? Say, I don't care anything about that love. Despise it. This is the highest expression of love which I can conceive of. The love of God who gave His Son for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You'll find that in Titus 2:14. Now we'll continue this next Sunday. And you listened. I'm thankful. And I hope that I've said something here that will show you, reveal to you by God's Holy Spirit, the love of God, the love that God has for this world, but especially for His people, for His elect, those whom He foreknew before the foundation of the world. And if there is any desire in your heart after Christ, any desire after God, and wanted to know such love, He's put that desire there. Now, you remember that. You bear that in mind. And you see that and acknowledge that. God will give you just a little bit more light on what He's doing for you, and what He's done for you, and what He will do for you. You come to confess there's no such love in your heart for God. And unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, as your Lord and Savior, you know nothing about the love of God. But you can know it. And He's expressing it to you now. He's telling you, oh sinner, I sent my only begotten Son into this world that you might live through Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. May the Lord grant you grace and faith to lay hold of the Son of God as your substitute, your Redeemer, and you'll come to know the love of God in Christ. That's my prayer. I'm glad you came. Come back and be with us tonight. I just feel like I could go on and on. Someone, they're asking me, how are you holding out? How's your strength? How are you doing? Well, it's all of the Lord. He is our sufficiency. We're nothing. And you continue to pray for me. You do that. That I'll be able to be in this pulpit every opportunity. I'm finding it a joy to preach, to teach more and more. I appreciated what the office workers did for me last Monday as they gave us a little party for my being here for 3 years, how that blessed my heart in the pulpit. Little letter, 3 years, how time goes by. 3 years going by. But I praise the Lord for you people, and that you remain with the truth. Remain with the truth. Follow on to know the Lord. You shall know Him if you follow on. But if you turn back, you go back, and you turn to others, you'll never know. You'll never know God's salvation. You'll never know the real joy of eternal life in Christ, or the full expression of God's love in your life as the Holy Spirit sheds it abroad. And that's what keeps us going. That the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't turn back, but go on. No matter how fierce the battle may be, or how much troubles and circumstances might beset you, go on. No matter how much the world might laugh at you, or they call you crazy, go on. Dare to be a Daniel in this day. While they're celebrating all of their satanic celebration is going on. Despise it. Go on. And let them know your objection to it. I'll have no part in all of this pagan celebration. Be ye separate. Come ye out from among them, said our Lord. And I'll be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. That's God's word. And I'd rather be a son of his than a son of Satan. I was in his family long enough. He was my father long enough. But praise God, I have a heavenly Father. And who's delivering me from his powers. And that's what he does for every sinner who wants to know him, who wants to know Christ. Well, I could go on and on, but I'm going to let you go. Let's stand.